Blog Talk Radio. Ketogenic cure is being touted as the diet to heal your gut and heal your life. What is this diet program, and can it really help us to heal? Today's guest will talk about the ketogenic process and her own unique perspective on it. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love, relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of the Healing Through Love lessons. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Kristen Grace McGarry, internationally recognized integrative and functional healthcare expert, helps people overcome symptoms of fatigue, digestive issues, and difficult to diagnose symptoms. Her book, The Ketogenic Cure, will explain how healing your gut can heal your life. I'm delighted to welcome you, Kristen Grace McGarry.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
So I'm looking forward to hearing about your background, your education, training. What did you study about? What led you, and what personal process led you to discover the ketogenic diet and work with it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I began in Western medicine. I was pre-med at the University of Arizona, and I became a nationally board certified EMT and worked in the ER for a little bit, and was headed towards becoming a Western-trained physician. And I got really, really sick. And this was approximately 21 years ago, and maybe even 22 now. And I was diagnosed eventually, I went for years not knowing what was wrong, and eventually I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which is an interesting term that basically means muscle pain. And I had at least 20 trigger points, and I felt like I had been run over by a truck every day and had a lot of mysterious symptoms that would come and go. And through peeling off the layers of why I was so sick and having so many symptoms, I discovered food as medicine. And I also went into Oriental medical school, Asian medical school, and I shifted from Western medicine to Asian medicine, and then osteopathy and homeopathy and biological medicine. And I learned food was medicine. So I started to change my diet. I had been a vegan and vegetarian and even a competitive bodybuilder. So on the outside, I looked really healthy. But on the inside, I had a lot of challenges that no one was able to figure out. So I struggled and got a diagnosis and then had to kind of peel the label of that diagnosis off to actually heal. And I did that in about 2 years. And then I had another health crisis about 10 years after that or so. And I went again for several years without being diagnosed, or I was misdiagnosed, until I found functional blood chemistry analysis. And then I began to get to the root of what was really going on in my body, and I discovered that I had an autoimmune disease. So by now I'm out of Asian medical school with several degrees. I'm certified in advanced cranial sacral therapy and homeopathy, and I decided to get certified in functional medicine, functional health care, and had some excellent mentors and role models, and learned about what was really going on the inside, not only treating symptoms, but getting to the root. And through that, I discovered I had an autoimmune disease and that the throne of immune function was the gut. So then I began my quest to heal my gut. And this was many, many years ago when it wasn't popular, when it wasn't all over, you know, Google, and you couldn't find gut repair supplements in Whole Foods. I was really from the bottom working up, trying to figure this out for myself and my patients. And I worked with the paleo and primal diets and metabolic typing diets and blood type diets, you know, 20-some years ago. And then I found the ketogenic diet, but it wasn't gut repair friendly. A standard ketogenic diet introduces many foods that are still inflammatory to the whole body and the gut. So I created the ketogenic gut repair nutritional program. And that's what began to help me heal my own symptoms and began working with my patients with this nutritional program. And they started to get excellent results as well, especially if they had inflammation and autoimmune issues or mysterious symptoms like fatigue. So that's a bit of how I came to it.
Wow. So the first question I have to ask, when you say you have an autoimmune disease, is it permanent? Does it get cured? Or is it something you always have to watch?
Great question. I'll say my answer with a disclaimer, is that in Western medicine, physicians will tell you, science will tell you, you can't reverse an autoimmune disease and you cannot cure it. That's what they tell you. Now, that's not my experience. So just so you understand,
okay, that's what
that,
I wanna
that
hear.
You're going to hear two different things from two different sides of this particular health road. In my experience, you can reverse tissue damage, and you can halt an autoimmune attack, and you can completely heal it. It just depends on the person and their individual variables that have contributed to that imbalance. And everybody's a little different. I know in my world, I had physical nutritional deficiencies. I had a kind of anemia that needed to be addressed. I had a bunch of food sensitivities that I wasn't aware of until I did very specialized testing that is not a common food test. And once I peeled off some more of these layers, then my gut could heal and my antibodies could drop to almost nothing. I also had past trauma. I had a very significant car accident. I had an emotionally abusive relationship about 23 years ago, that contributed to the autoimmune imbalance in my body. And so I had to go back and really address all of these pieces, including genetics, including what I got from my family of origin. So everybody's a little different. Can you heal? Absolutely. The body's designed to heal. In my experience, we just have to find the blocks that may have been preventing the body from doing what it is designed to do.
Mm-hmm. So let's get to it. What is this ketogenic diet? Just the general diet, and then what are the foods that you found on there that were inflammatory? You know, I'd love to hear more.
Great. So a ketogenic diet is basically a diet where you program, you train your metabolism to use fat for fuel. So you're burning fat all day long, not only when you work out. Normally the body runs from glucose because that's the quickest energy source, and the body is in a survival mode, and it wants quick energy. However, glucose, or glycogen, as it's stored in your muscles, can only be stored in very small quantities, about 2,000 kilocalories, whereas fat can be stored for fuel in much larger quantities, 20 to 40,000 kilocalories. It's a much more efficient way of storing energy and using energy. Glucose or glycogen, when we burn that for energy, it's very quick, and it's even what is called by science a dirty metabolism. So sugar and glycogen is processed through the liver, and it's not as well utilized as fat or ketones. If you're an athlete and you quote-unquote bonk, that means you've run out of glycogen storage and you need sugar. You need carbohydrates immediately to refill that pantry of fuel for you. However, if you're getting your fuel from ketones or fat, you will likely not ever bonk. You will have lasting and sustained energy and blood sugar. What science has shown is that eating fat and training your body to burn fat for fuel allows your brain to work about 25% more optimally, and your cardiovascular system, almost every major organ in your body, works more optimally from ketones or fat as fuel than it does with glucose or glycogen. That's a pretty big deal in our bodies. A ketogenic diet is about 60 to 75% of your calories coming from fat. It can even be more. 15 to 30% coming from protein, and only 5 to 10% of your calories coming from carbohydrates, but vegetable sources, not grain sources. And that's a generalized ketogenic plan to begin with. Now, the foods that I found that are inflammatory, that are on a standard ketogenic diet, are things like dairy. And dairy is pretty controversial, but there's very, very solid science that shows most humans stop creating the enzyme that breaks down lactose after the age of 5. There's also research showing that even happy range-free organic cattle are included in this, but almost all cattle, 86% of cattle in the United States, have bovine leukemia. Now, there was one research I found that showed humans do not get bovine leukemia from eating cow dairy or meat, but there are no studies showing the impact of bovine leukemia on the human immune system. There is also anywhere from 200 to 400 bovine viruses and bacteria in dairy products, and our bodies have to deal with that. And when our immune system is forced to deal with these kinds of pathogens coming from a food in such mass quantity, it can confuse our immune systems, which eventually can lead to things like autoimmune challenges or even an autoimmune disease. Any kind of imbalance in your immune system, there are different spectrums of those imbalances. It could be as light as, say, a seasonal allergy. That's an imbalance in your immune system. And way, way down the spectrum, very severe, is a neoplasm, is cancer. That's also a kind of imbalance in your immune system. So we want to omit the foods that can cause immune dysfunction. Other foods on a standard ketogenic nutritional plan are nuts, and nuts can also be inflammatory and difficult to digest, and they are not part of a real comprehensive gut repair program. These are just a couple of the foods. Eggs are another one. Depending on who you've spoken to, eggs can be very inflammatory, and many people can have sensitivities to eggs. And it's important to note that's also on a standard ketogenic diet, but it may not be great for a gut repair program.
And what about chicken and meats? I mean, we hear about bacteria, you know, toxins in a lot of different foods, fish and meat.
Mm-hmm.
So what
it's
about
true.
Those?
It's a great point. It's true. I think of our larger fish like cod and tuna, they seem to collect more heavy metals in the ocean than, say, the smaller fish like the krill or the sardines do. And it is a problem. And I really invite people to be mindful of the foods they're eating. I like to teach people to be informed consumers of their nutrition and their health care. And eating wild, eating range-free, eating without chemicals and pesticides, without unnecessary preservatives in certain foods or food coloring or flavor enhancers like MSG. These are all important things to consider when we are stepping into our power as an informed consumer of our nutrition. So yes, there are real issues with our foods right now on the planet. And so how do we do our very best to eat organic, to eat wild, to eat range-free without chemicals and pesticides? And currently, I'm in Costa Rica, and I found a local farmer who butchers their chickens, and their chickens are seen. They're range-free, and I crock-potted a real organic chicken. Now, it's not certified organic, but I know the farmer. I met him. He's down the street. And that chicken was so scrumptious and so different from other chickens I've eaten in the States. So it just takes education. It takes becoming informed, asking questions of your butcher, making sure that really getting quality food, eating with co-ops and such.
Yeah, you just reminded me that I visited someone who has a farm here in Florida, and she gave me some eggs. I got a dozen eggs from her, and they were different than the other eggs. Even
exactly.
The free-range eggs that I get, there was a difference in the color, the taste really was different.
Yes, so
but
you've experienced
what can we do
it
about
firsthand.
That?
So the more we can do the more we can find that, the better.
But it's really hard. I'm personally finding it really hard to just buy organic food and cook it and eat at home. I mean, I have friends and somebody wants to go out somewhere, go to a happy hour, and, you know, and they have fried food. And then, so what would you tell someone to do when they want to live in the real world?
Yeah, I coach almost all of my patients on this. It's a really good question. It's a big concern for people because in our culture, food, we share food to socialize, which is wonderful, and there are ways around it. So whenever I go out with friends, I often bring my own food. And most restaurants are okay with it because I say I have a lot of food sensitivities and they likely don't have very many things on the menu. And I also find restaurants that will work with me and ask my friends to go there. and that's another way of getting around it. And it does take a little bit of what I call empowerment and commitment. It's commitment to self-love. It's commitment to self-care. And it's also a commitment to education. We're educating restaurants more and more about what the consumers, ourselves, desire. And it's a consumer-driven market. So they're going to step up to the plate and want to give their consumers what they want. And so working with restaurants, working with local restaurant owners and chefs to get our needs met, and then we have our friends all gathered there, they have food we can eat. Often, even if I go to a restaurant that I don't know, usually I can get a plain piece of meat and vegetables or a salad. So I'm not deprived. I can be social. I can be with my friends or family in that environment and still feed myself well. I also sometimes will eat ahead of time and just go and socialize. And it's really about our perspective and working with our mind. And I like to go to the deeper places with people and really have the sometimes difficult conversations around motivation and pleasure and food addiction and the reason why we want our food or our social time to be a certain way. And how can we better learn what some of those hang-ups are or the sticky spots or the challenges or the pain points, completely harmonize and heal them so we're free of that. We're free in our mind. We're free in our emotions. And we can show up and just have fun and have wonderful connection with our friends.
It sounds beautiful, but I'm just thinking of all the people connected to a whole culture, like Italians with pastas and Indians with rice and beans, you know, in a lot of different cultures with rice and beans and to eliminate the rice and eliminate the pasta and maybe eliminate the meatballs. I mean, that was what you were brought up on and that's what you loved. For me, it was muscle balls. You know, so what can people do? Because you may say have a new attitude, but you can feel very deprived when you love these foods. They were what you grew up on. They make you feel like you're with your family again that maybe isn't there anymore.
So again, I would go to the deeper root around connection, because that's what people are longing for, is connection. And they use food to then feel connected to their family. And I think certain traditional foods, you know, matzo ball soup, you can get gluten-free matzo ball soup. You can make gluten-free matzo balls. You know, there are ways around this. And it's and if you're on a ketogenic diet and you blow it for, a holiday or a family gathering, you can always move forward and get back on track with a ketogenic diet in a couple of days. Sometimes, depending on your unique metabolism, having matzo ball soup one night will not throw you out of ketosis, and other people it may. So when it comes to these traditional foods of like rice and beans and pastas and stuff, the reason that those foods are popular is because they were cheap. They were inexpensive. That's why rice became so big in, say, Asia, was because China had big armies it had to feed, and they needed inexpensive food, so they started growing rice. Traditionally, people in Asia ate fish. They weren't raised with just rice, and they had vegetables and grasses. And so when we start to look at our roots, what I really think the question points to is connection. And how do we find other ways to connect, and why are we loving foods that are hurting us? For example, I was raised in the Midwest. They put mayonnaise on everything, and we had a lot of bread and a lot of junk food in my house. We also had a garden, which saved us, but we had a lot of junk. And, you know, I don't think of that junk as connecting me to my family and my, you know, Midwestern roots. Because that food doesn't nourish my physical body, and I have enough awareness, and I've done enough inner work to recognize where the old hooks may have been, where I'm being pulled to eat, you know, maybe something really sweet and not healthy because my mom served that when I was a child. There's deeper work there to be done and to explore. And it's not because anything's wrong or broken. It's all about heightening self-awareness as we evolve as humans. And how do we work with those emotions of deprivation? Why are we turning to food to fill us? Why aren't we turning to self-love to fill us? Why aren't we turning to intimacy and deep friendship or communication to fill us? Why aren't we turning to the divine, certain people who are religious, to fill us? Why aren't we turning to these more healthier, balanced things to fill us instead of food? And so this is a cultural issue and a cultural topic that we could probably spend a lot of time going deeper in and exploring, because I've done this for many, many, many years with many, many patients. And once they get to the root of the deprivation feeling, once they get to the root of the discontentedness or the feeling of like, hey, this is too hard or challenging, and we resolve that, then they step into their power and they feel free with food. And that's my intention for people, that they find their own unique freedom to explore life and food with pleasure, with self-love, with excitement and enthusiasm.
So talk about the 8 blocks to healing.
Yeah, oh, I love that topic. It's going to be another book. I already have content for it, but I'm working on several books right now, so that one's going to come soon. But let me share about it, because this was also a game changer in my own healing. And I find this with people who have chronic symptoms or diagnoses, and they've done everything and nothing worked, which I hear all the time, but they haven't done what I've recommended yet. So it technically isn't everything, but we often go to extremes when we're uncomfortable or when we have a lot of symptoms. And I really get that, because I've had so many symptoms. I can really relate heart to heart with people in that way. So the 8 blocks that I teach about and identify in people and empower them to completely resolve. The first one are scars. And scars can be a real block to healing. Not only is it an interference field in your nervous system, but it also can sever channels of energy in Asian medicine that are called meridians. And we work with scars very uniquely in Asian medicine and with neural therapy to completely resolve them so that they no longer block energy or cause issues with the nervous system. The second block are latent infections. I see this a lot as well. This is with gut issues or parasites, Epstein-Barr virus, herpes virus. There are often latent infections that can block someone from really healing. It's like a distraction to the immune system. And we have integrative and alternative ways of working with them so that they no longer are a block. The third block is unresolved trauma. I see this also very often in patients. Car accidents, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, surgeries, natural disasters, acts of violence. These are traumas that happen, and often we'll do the head work, but we won't integrate it and embody it and move it through the physical body. And that's where I like to introduce various modalities that are very individualized for that person and what they went through, to help resolve that trauma. The next fourth block.
Just to interrupt for a second, I've studied over the years a lot of different kinds of body therapy, including craniosacral and Ruben Phelps Synergy, working with that mind-body connection. And I thought that I was on the board for the U.S. Association for Body Psychotherapy in 1996, and I thought the whole world was going to know about this stuff, and it really hasn't. It's still not understood. Yeah, I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, well, thank you. And what's so brilliant is that you're bringing it to more and more people by having your show. And we're so grateful that you are educating your listeners in this way and waking them up to these really important pieces. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so number 4.
Number 4 is electromagnetic fields. Having the cell phone up against your head, living next to a cell phone tower. These electromagnetic fields are measurable by science now, and they're impacting our brain waves, our immune systems, and so many other systems in our physical body. So it's really important to address those individually. Heavy metals and toxins are also a huge block to healing. Number 6, hidden food sensitivities. So there are food allergies that people have a true allergy is a very strong reaction. It's something that may even send someone to the emergency room, like anaphylactic shock from, say, eating peanuts if you have a true allergy to peanuts. Or you could have a strong histamine reaction if you're allergic to a certain pollen or tree. But there are hidden food sensitivities that different aspects of your immune system are reacting to, and they're not immediate. They're very sneaky and hidden. And it can take days to weeks for you to develop a symptom from something you ate. So you may not necessarily know where that symptom came from where it arose. Because, you know, if you eat a banana on January 1st and you get a migraine on January 18th, you may not associate that symptom with eating the banana 18 days ago, but it could be causing that symptom. So there are very specialized tests for finding that. Number seven are dental issues. They're hidden sometimes or they're unresolved. They could be gum pockets or root canals or poorly done wisdom teeth extractions. Really, even dentists agree that your mouth health, your dental health speaks volumes about your overall health. And so to really figure out these unresolved dental issues can be very important. I know I found some of my dental issues through a test called thermography, which is commonly used to replace mammography for breast scans because it can find things sometimes 7 to 9 years before a mammogram would find it. And they did a thermography of my head and my jaw, and we found some hot spots in my jaw. And then I could, with the knowledge, address those unresolved dental issues. The last block to healing are subconscious beliefs. And this is an interesting one. Because what psychoneurobiologists are showing us, what psychiatrists are even speaking about and writing about, is how powerful the unconscious mind is. And the unconscious or subconscious runs about 90 to 95% of our show. We are usually on autopilot for most of our day. Mm-hmm. You know the sense when you're driving and you're on autopilot? Well, a lot of our day is also like that. And something we smell or taste or see or hear or touch can trigger a biochemical reaction. And those biochemical reactions impact all of our health and well-being. So a positive example would be maybe you smell a certain kind of cookie and it reminds you of your grandmother. Well, biochemically, your body just changed to a time, going back to a time when you were at your grandmother's house and you were smelling or eating those cookies. Now, if that time in your life was really, really happy, great. But if that time in your life you also, 2 months before, were sexually abused, then your biochemistry is going to change according to that situation. There are techniques and processes that we can implement and individualize to begin to uncover the unconscious beliefs that I call our triggers, or they're triggers for our survival. We never implement these kinds of strategies of protection unless it's because we need to learn something or we genuinely need to protect ourselves. And another thing I really like to teach my patients about are beliefs. And a belief is something we learned. It doesn't necessarily mean it was the truth, because not everything we learn is true. And when we begin to uncover our unconscious beliefs, we can begin to diffuse old strategies of protection or sabotage that may no longer be serving us. And that can be a real block to healing, and that can be a real pivotal point for transformation and healing with someone.
Wow. I have heard all of this. I've been to lots of events and read a lot of books already. but you've really organized it so neatly, you know, so simple to understand. And then you work with each one of these. Your work is really powerful. So I guess I have a question. What's wrong with our gut that it needs healing?
Wow, yeah, great question, Erica. Thank you. So our gut, most people's guts on the planet right now are out of balance. And we see the evidence of this by all the people who are ill, especially with immune dysfunction and autoimmune diseases and cancers and allergies and weird infections. And these are symptoms of a gut and an immune system that's out of whack. Now, our foods have caused our guts to be out of whack, for sure. The processing of our foods, I call it SAD, the standard American diet, is promoting fast food. It's the quick fix around nutrition. It's not looking at the long-term consequences of nutrition, and that all has an impact on our gut. For example, the big push for soy products in the United States and in the quote-unquote health-conscious or health-minded population, there is this belief that soy is really good for us. But when you look at the history of soy, you learn how damaging it is and why it was actually promoted. And there's a very interesting book called The Whole Soy Story that gives you a part of the puzzle. But soy is in a lot of things, and it actually is pretty hard to digest, and it causes inflammation and gut problems. Corn, for example, most of the corn that is produced in the United States isn't even edible. It's not edible. It goes to making high fructose corn syrup, or it goes to cattle feed. And yet it's in everything, and that's caused a lot of gut damage. The number of chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, growers is through the roof. The number of chemicals in our body and skin, hair products, our makeup is through the roof. There are so many neurotoxins. People are wearing perfume. It's not only damaging their brain, it's damaging their gut. And stress. Stress, we are in this go, go, go culture. Type A, get it done, really, really go fast and hard in life. And that kind of mentality.
There's so much here that I would love to talk to you for hours about. But we're really kind of running out of time. So I would just like you to share, what should we be eating? What can we eat?
Right.
You know, what would you consider a healthy ketogenic diet? And just briefly, because there's so much wrong with everything.
Yeah, and there's a lot of right things too, though. So organic, free-range, wild meats and fish whenever possible. A wide variety of vegetables. Most people have their favorite five. I invite people to expand that to 10 or 15, to go out on a limb and start eating a couple of vegetables that you've never had before. The more color and variety, the better, because you're getting more phytonutrients. And if you can grow things yourself, do so. You can even get a very affordable tower garden that plugs in and uses water and no soil to grow vegetables indoors. Even if you're living in a cold climate, you can have beautiful leafy greens. Next would be healthy fats. Healthy fats like avocado and coconut, knowing what kinds of oils to cook with, never cooking with olive oil, only using olive oil, organic olive oil, after you've cooked your food to drizzle on it. Cooking with avocado oil, coconut oil, grapeseed oil, sesame oil, duck fat, these are the kinds of things to cook with that are healthier for us. Finding healthier, fattier meats like duck, like maybe different local lamb that you can get, which is naturally a little fattier, can be great on a ketogenic gut repair program.
Well, It's so important what you're talking about. So now I have another question. We really have only a little time left. What is the difference between healing and curing? You talk about that.
Beautiful. Well, they can be very connected, and they can also be very distinct. So I'll give you an example. I worked with a beautiful patient who came to me after struggling with breast cancer for 5 years on and off, many rounds of chemo and radiation. And of course, I can never guarantee a cure. But she did such deep work that she had many healing experiences, although she was never, quote unquote, cured. And she had healing experiences both in her body and in her relationships. And when she died, she said she felt such peace, and she felt like she had cleared some of these challenges in her relationships between her different family members. And for her, that was the healing. So some people can get both. Often when we do healing, deep healing work, it results in a cure. But you can have successful healing and transformation and still have a diagnosis that doesn't go away. And that's okay. Sometimes it will go away and sometimes it won't. And the difference is
our attitude. Many years ago, I heard that with AIDS patients, that, you know, they may have healed their life and their relationships, you know, and not actually the disease. I just have one last question to ask you. What do you consider the top supplements to take for basic health?
Well, I believe food is medicine. And so it really depends on the person. I would start with vitamin D3 as one of the top general supplements that when I do a functional blood chemistry analysis, most people are deficient in vitamin D3. And you're not going to get it from the sun, and that's a whole other show we can explain, or you can read my blog on vitamin D on my website. But vitamin D3 is a big one. Omega-3 fatty acids, really, really important. Make sure they're not rancid. Make sure they come from a really good distributor, that you don't get them at a corner, you know, pharmacy market or a giant chain store. I personally like Nordic Naturals as an omega-3 supplement. I believe that CBD oil is really up and coming. And CBD oil is without any of the psychoactive pieces of THC. And these cannabinoids are very anti-inflammatory, and I believe they're going to be used more and more in many different areas of healthcare. And I think a vitamin that comes from whole fruits and vegetables. I personally work with Juice Plus, because Juice Plus has decades of research proving that their whole food, organic, vine-ripened fruits and vegetables in capsule form are bioavailable. They go into someone's body, and their body can actually absorb those nutrients. And there are other kind of health food store versions that some people can get, as long as it's based on food and it's not a synthetic vitamin. Synthetic vitamins
have been shown to
cause harm.
We have to end here, so just tell us your website before the recording ends.
Thank you. KristinGraceMcGarry.com. KristinGraceMcGarry.com.
Well, Kristen, I could talk to you for hours. You are a wealth of information, and I've studied a lot about this, so I know that you know a lot. So thank you so much, and I hope our listeners will go to your site and connect with you. And thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you, Dr. Erica. It's been a pleasure.
And to those of you listening, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, drericagoodstone.com. And check out my upcoming Healing Through Love lessons. They'll be available soon.